There's a question today. When do I get my keys? When do I get my keys? Do we have any homeowners here? Please raise your hand. Any homeowners here?
Amen.
Amen. How many people have a set of keys to your house that you don't know, that you don't trust? How many people that you don't trust have a set of keys to your house? Amen. So you only give keys to people that you can trust. People that maybe know how to look after your belongings. Look after your house. Folks that won't steal from you. Folks that won't go in and mess up stuff and have a party while you're not home and all that kind of stuff. That's, how many of you are homeowners, you taking keys back from somebody? Because they broke the rules. Because they did not respect your house. They did not respect what the symbolism of keys really meant. And you found out you could no longer trust them. But when do I get my keys to the kingdom? When do I get my keys to the kingdom? And when you think about the keys to the kingdom, don't just think about physical keys. Keys to the kingdom is also an understanding of who God is. And understanding the power that God has given us in order that we might open up the kingdom to so many other people. The Bible shows us that when Jesus came to the earth in the flesh to become our Lord and Savior, that part of his mission and part of his assignment was to establish a new kingdom, God's kingdom here on earth. God's kingdom is God's way of doing things. It is God's righteous government and ways and rule upon the earth in spite of what is going on in the world. This is God's way. That's why you have to be different. That's why we can't just be a Sunday saint and during the rest of the week just do all kinds of stuff. No. God's kingdom is God's righteous government, God's ways and God's rule upon the earth. God's kingdom was and is different. It was revolutionary because of its inclusivity and its love, mercy, and grace. Before Jesus came with the kingdom, folk were that excluding folks. You know, they ain't want the Pharisees, Sadducees. They thought they had it going on. You couldn't get in. You were Gentile. You couldn't go here. And then the poor women. When Jesus spoke to that woman at the well, they were like, what is wrong with him? Don't you know you don't talk to women in public? Don't you know they're not this and they're not that? But God's kingdom came in and ushered a whole new way of living, a whole new way of thinking. And what God's kingdom said, we're going to do things different in spite of what's going on in the world. Because God is God. God is greater than all the mess that is going on in the earth. See, you don't have to wait till Jesus comes back to do kingdom stuff. I just think we had to get everything together before we could do the next thing. God said, if you wait till that, you won't ever do anything because you don't be all together till I get back. So God said, I preserved enough of you. I put enough in you to be able to do some things for me right now. If there's anybody here waiting to get it all together before you accept Christ, all together before you join the church, all together before you step out and do what God tells you to do or use God's gift, then don't make the mistake that so many of us made because we'll never have it all together. Because once I start getting it all together, when I shut the window, the door flew open. I shut the window flew back open. And then when I was able to shut the door and got somebody to help me hold the window down, the roof started acting like a fool. I wish I had a witness.
Right?
But God gives us enough gravity. God gives us enough, you know, within us, enough stuff to hold us in a place where he can use us in spite of. See, humility takes care of the stuff, the junk that's still in my trunk. Humility will make you remember who you are and whose you are. And we don't get too high-minded and too full of ourselves because, you know, without the grace of God, I can't look at nobody crooked. I can't look at nobody. I can't stick my head all up in the air and think I'm better than anybody. Hallelujah. Because if the truth was told, I was saved 5 minutes ago. How quick does stuff crop up in your mind, the stuff you used to do? Back in the day stuff, somebody make you mad. Somebody press that button. That's how close it is. You saved from it, but it's right there. And if God wasn't looking at you 24/7, you might. It's easy because sometimes you can be all by yourself. But if God wasn't on the case 24/7, look, somebody jumping off, you look all around. I don't see no church members around here. I don't see nobody I know. When do I get my keys to the kingdom? Look at Mark chapter 1. And verse 15. It said, when Jesus came on the scene, Mark 1 and 15, this is what he said. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Mark 1, 15, when Jesus came, he came in. He came in, ushering in the new kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. If you think about it, when he's preparing for ministry, you know, he came, he was baptized. As soon as he was baptized, what happened to him? He was taken out of the wilderness and tempted. As soon as you and I get ready for ministry, what happens? Don't something jump off? You all happy, running away from church, running home, tell your friends and family what God can be doing in your life, and they just stick a pin right in. They just... But you got to know that the things of God are worth going through something for. Because if you don't, you will always be where you always are. See, it takes courage to take a leap of faith. It takes courage to say, God, I'm chasing after you. And God said, I'm not running. But that means, God, I'm trying to pursue you. God, I want all of you. I want everything that the kingdom promises me. Kingdom eligibility required that one would accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, but also being a part of the kingdom was and still is a personal choice. Don't let nobody force you to accept Christ. It's a personal choice to accept Christ. But if you want to be eligible for the kingdom, Jesus Christ needs to be your Lord and Savior. Amen. Otherwise, you know, you'll get those blessings that fall on the just and the unjust, but you won't get the bountiful kingdom blessings that are entitled to the kingdom citizens. It's a personal choice. Don't nobody force you to serve God. Nobody going to force you to praise him, to worship him. It's a personal thing. You need to do it on your own. I tell folks, don't push people to accept Christ. Let God can do his own business. God can do his own drawing. Amen. Amen. Don't force people. Just put it out there. Just give it to them. Amen. Just put the food out. Bring them to the water. Don't break their neck trying to get them to drink it. Present it. And then live it. Oh my God. Our children, they want to do what we do and what we say. But if what we do doesn't line up with what we say, we got a problem. They start saying stuff like, Mom, Dad, I don't feel like going to church today. The Eagles are on. Mom, Dad, I don't feel like going to church today. I got a headache. They start saying the things that we say. I don't like church. I don't think we should go today. That's deep because we don't know how we're robbing our children of the foundation of Christianity in their lives so they can make some sound decisions as they grow up. And also we want to know what's wrong with our kids because we leave too much on the schools. Oh, I'm so upset. They took prayer out of schools. Who took prayer out your house? What legislation took prayer out your house? Who took prayer out your mouth? We spend too much, we put too much, invest too much in what the school's supposed to be doing. If you protect your child will know when the teacher telling them some stuff that they just need to know to get through the course and what they should hold on to. But we want to depend so much and just put them out there for so many hours. And if you protect your child, it's going to be all right. If you give them something, it's going to be all right. But you got to know what to give them. According to our scripture for today's message, Matthew 16, there are keys to God's kingdom that are not issued automatically upon your entrance into the kingdom. As soon as your baby's born into your family, y'all give them a set of keys? As soon as that baby's born, you don't give that baby no set of keys. Amen. As soon as you come to the kingdom, I'm sorry, you will not get your keys. They're hanging up for you, but you have to show forth something before you get your set of keys. Just like your house. You don't give your children as soon as they get a certain age a set of keys. As a matter of fact, you lecture them when you give them a key. This is for you and for you only, you better not lose it. And I don't want nobody in my house until I get home. And don't you do this, and don't you, and you look around before you stick that key in that door, and you don't bring your friends all up in. I wish I had a witness on. See, we don't do that no more. You know? And you call me as soon as you get in the house. And what's that voice in the background? That's the TV. Well, turn it off. And children, put your fingers in your ears, because we have to laugh, not in your face, because some of the stuff we used to do. But when you give them a key, you give them some instructions. Because the key means they have authority to go in. They have access to what you're paying a mortgage on. Oh, my God. So when do I get my keys to the kingdom? Well, as we attempt to answer this question, let us look at number one, question number one, number two, question number two, and number three, the presentation of the keys. Point number one is question number one. Point number two is question number two. Point number three, the presentation of the keys to the kingdom. Point number one is question number one. Point number two is question number two. Look, we're supposed to follow the communication. And point number three, the presentation of the keys to the kingdom. Amen. I'm not trying to send you no dictionary. You leave here. You leave here. I want us to have something. Amen. When you stand at God's sacred desk, you're supposed to preach and teach so folk can understand you. I don't want you walking out the ball. Oh, that was so deep. I ain't get that. Then I haven't helped you. I haven't blessed you. I ain't trying to be deep. We're going to be real. Look at question number one. Look at Matthew 16 and 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He's given them a quick quiz. They've been around him long enough. He says, who do people think that I am? And that's important because Jesus already knows that some of our ideology about him is always formed by what other people that we have credibility in, that we never seen crack open a Bible or come to a worship church, begin to tell us, and we begin to formulate who Jesus is based on something we heard. And because we don't know, when somebody tells us some stuff, we're ready to accept some stuff because it sounds good. But we need to do an investigation. So Jesus said, you all been with me for a while as my disciples. You've been in my training program. You see me do this and you see me do that. But who do they say? I'm concerned because you all are close to me and they are not. You're close and they are distant. What are distant folks saying about me? What are those outside of the church saying about me? What Jesus said, if you want to say the same thing you say outside the church, then why are you in the church? Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, they responded, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. That's question number one. Who do they say? And sometimes when you come in the church and you want to make a decision whether or not you're going to accept Christ, you got to go through your mind, what did they tell me or who did they tell me he was? And you got to take that information and line it up with the Word of God, and you got to go through that thing and try to make a determination, who is Jesus? Look at question number two in Matthew 16:15. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And that's the question he asked us today. You in church? You singing on the choir? You a deacon, deaconess? You a minister of the gospel? You an officer in the church? You a Christian? You a part of the body of Christ? Whom say ye that I am? And what we don't really understand is that according to who we think he is, that's how we're going to worship him. That's how we're going to serve him. If he think he can't bless you, you're not going to worship him like that. The songs that people sing that really talk about the attributes of God and the mighty power of God, you sit there with your arms folded because you can't relate to that because you think he's just some little genie in a box. God, I need something today, so I guess I'll get up and wash my face and go to church. See, you don't understand you need him every day. You don't understand he's a 24-hour day, 7-day-a-week God. See, we don't understand that. So we have to get to the point where we need to know who he is for ourselves. You can't keep picking up the phone and keep saying, let me call so-and-so to find out what the Bible says. Open your Bible. That's good to do that sometimes, but somehow open your Bible and read for yourself who Jesus is. And God is saying, whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's deep because Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And look at verse 17 because Jesus is already presenting some keys. Jesus said, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon, son of John, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I stand before you today. You will not know who Jesus is until our Father in heaven reveals unto you who he is when he looks at your heart and your heart is prepared to know who Jesus is. You can't just find out who he is just by reading the word. That's head knowledge. But see, when the head knowledge becomes heart knowledge, then you got knowledge. Then you got wisdom. And then you can find out who he is. The problem with a lot of us in the body of Christ, we keep on trying to serve God with the head knowledge without the heart knowledge. So he told Peter, you're not deep. Out of all disciples, you're not the deep one. You're not the smart one. You're not the super anointed one. My Father. Oh, you gifted? Yeah, you can preach, you can sing, you can teach, but you're not deep. My Father in heaven revealed. God will keep you humble. But it'll keep on blessing you also because humility opens the door for God to keep on blessing. But he said, my Father which is in heaven, flesh and blood, no, Peter. Nah. Come on. And what he wants us to know, no matter how long we come in and out of the church and hang around the church, think we're doing something. God's not saying, I don't want you to be. He said, you got to stop playing ring around the rosy. Pockets full of posy. One, two, three, and I'm gone. Because he's saying, you got to get in there and find out who I am. You got to really become the church. See, the church is not the brick wall. The church, we are the people of God. We are the church. We're a living body. We're an organism. We are moving. We're the church. And see, God don't reveal stuff to bricks, even though he can make a stone cry out. He reveals stuff to us who's sitting inside the brick walls, who's sitting inside the wooden pews. God gives us revelation. And when he gives us revelation, we got to act on it. When Peter got the revelation, what did Peter say? Thou art the Christ. When God gives you revelation, it's not for you to hold on to it. It's not for you to wait till Sunday morning. Oh, God gave me up. It's for you to act on it. What did God say? God said, he said, Jesus is my son. But see, when he revealed that to Peter, Peter said, thou art Christ, the son of the living God. And look at verse 18. This is when you get your keys. You get your keys when you know who Jesus is. God won't give you keys to the kingdom because just like that little kid that you won't give the keys to, can God trust you with the keys to the kingdom? Can God trust you with access to the kingdom? To all the stuff that's behind those doors? Can God trust you with ministry? Can God trust you with his gifts?
Can God trust you with salvation? Can God trust you with money? Can God trust you with the lives of the people that you're supposed to be pastoring and you're supposed to be shepherding? Can God trust you with that? Or are you selfish? Are you all about yourself and can't help nobody else? Just grabbing for yourself. Me and my family. Me and my family. Me and my family. Never even seeing that your cup is in fact under. Can God trust you with the keys to the kingdom? When do I get my keys in the kingdom? When the Father reveals unto each and every one of us who Jesus is. That's when you get your keys. You just don't get no keys because I joined the church. But you ain't joined Jesus. You want a place where you can get in there, you know. But when you going to come on in? When you really going to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? See, Christianity is more than just getting out of eternal damnation. Christianity is saying, Lord, you direct my life now. That's hard to give up. Because everybody wants to do what they want to do. But God is saying, when you become one of mine, when I reveal to you who Jesus is, I got a set of keys for you. Because God's not going to give you no keys. Somebody saying, Pastor, how you know? Because I know God don't have time to waste on folk that are not real serious about Him, worship, praise, time, talent, treasure, ministry. God already knows you don't want to help nobody. Why should He unlock things? That's why you don't get no revelation from the Word. Because God said, I can't trust you. You going in the house having parties. You taking stuff and using it the wrong way. You abusing your authority. You going in talking stuff. You going in taking stuff out of the refrigerator that's not yours. That was for the homeless. I don't care about no homeless. I'm eating that sandwich. See, can God trust you? Can He trust you with the keys of the kingdom? Can He trust you with authority? Can He trust you with access? Can He trust you with power? Can He trust you to open the door to let somebody in that needs Him? That's another definition of keys. Keys means that you have an understanding of who God is and that you're going to open up the kingdom so they can come into the kingdom with you. That's what church is supposed to be about. Winning souls for Christ. But when do you get your keys? When God can trust you. My Lord. Did you ever think about God trusting you? We went around, oh, I got faith in God. God, I trust the Lord. God said, but can I trust you? Can I trust you with your marriage? Can I trust you with the children I blessed you with? Can I trust you with that job I gave you? Will you please stop complaining? Because I put you there for a reason. I put you there for a purpose. Can I trust you with my vision? Can I trust you with my mission? Can I trust you with being a leader in the church? That you won't steal my glory? Can I trust you all as being pastors? That you won't just fleece the people? That you won't have that Rolls Royce that we showed on Wednesday night? We're talking about Rolls Royce ministry. That's all. Rolls Royce ministry. Amen. But can God trust you with the keys to the kingdom? When you get a knowledge of who Christ is, God will begin to open up who He is to you. He will begin to reveal unto you because He said, okay, you can handle. And when we begin to handle that, we begin to handle other stuff for Him. Anybody in here been with us since the beginning of this church when it started? And if you're here and you've been since the beginning, are you doing something different than you did 15 years ago? Are you in a position that you never thought that you would be in? Did God call you to do something because He opened up the kingdom unto you? Do you have compassion for the lost? Will you help somebody along the way? Is it all about you? Is it about God? Is it about God's kingdom? See, when He gives the keys to the kingdom, it's not about you looking good and smelling good and living good, because God got that. It's about seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. Too many of us stop at us. And ministry is not us. God gives us the keys of the kingdom to open it up so others can be felt, can feel His love. So others can be touched. See, people, we don't like that kind of challenge. Because we need to be about our Father's business. Many of us, God has given us keys to the kingdom. He's about ready to take it back. You ain't doing nothing with it. You ain't doing nothing with it.
You got a beautiful voice, but when you gonna sing? I don't like our choir. Who asked you to like the choir? Anybody asked you to like the choir? You don't even know if they like you. You ain't been. Oh, see, we don't like the truth. We love to play games. That's cold-blooded. Pastor, you had to say that. You ain't had to do that. If you're bold enough to do that, I'm bold enough to call it out. See, we bold like that. We think because pastor and co-pastor, pastors, there's something, things they shouldn't do. Well, as a Christian, there's things that all of us should not do. We ought not be playing church. We ought not be playing with God. We ought not be lying. We ought not be ducking and dodging, sneaking over here, and sneaking over there, and sneaking everywhere. How you gonna carry the keys to God's kingdom, and we're all over the place? God knows my heart. That ought to be a scary statement. We got keys that we're not even using now because we're too lazy. We don't want to do no ministry. We don't want to be bothered with nobody. But see, when you really know who Jesus is, that's when you get your keys to the kingdom. When your child grew up and understood the rules of the house, that's when you gave them a key. Hallelujah. And when they lost that key, you gave them a lecture. Do you know that somebody could get in here and steal everything that your mother and I have worked so hard to get? Come on, somebody. What do you think Jesus is saying? God is saying, I sent my son to die on Calvary's cross that men, women, boys, and girls might be saved. And here you are with the keys to my kingdom, sitting at home having a pity party because somebody in church hurts your little bitty feelings. When is God going to be greater than all this nonsense, all these little excuses we find out? Why we can't worship here? Why we can't worship there? I have to serve you. And notice, there is no perfect church. Find your place where your key fits. Open up the kingdom of God. Stop being in a place where you don't want to be. Sit there complaining. It ain't nothing no good. Oh, they can't say. Oh, he can't preach. Oh, he preaches too long. Oh, he gets on my nerves. Oh, bah, 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 bah. Oh, bah, 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 bah. What are we going to do? Kingdom stuff. This is church. This is not something you go in a department store. Oh, I don't like this dress. Oh, I don't like this suit. This is ministry. If it hadn't been for God cleaning you up, you wouldn't even know what to look for. That's where humility comes in. But see, you won't get no keys to the kingdom until you line up with him. Hallelujah. Now, I just messed somebody up. They thought they had the keys. They thought they was kingdom building. Now, kingdom building takes sacrifice. Amen. Not on your calendar. Not on your time. On God's time. The wonderful thing about sacrifice is your heart's got to be into it. You know why? Because there are people that can't do stuff in and for the church, but they can do stuff for themselves. They're always busy when it comes to ministry. But you find them all over the world. They're in New York City. They're in Atlantic City. They're all over the place. Ain't got no car. Oh, Pastor, I got a car. Can't come to church. All of a sudden, they on the bus. All the way over across town somewhere. Watch your Facebooks, okay? Your Facebook lets us know what you do with the key. Watch your Facebook comments. Hallelujah. Stop lying to the Holy Ghost. Oh, Pastor, I was so sick on my Facebook. But guess what? I don't get mad at you because you're lying to God. God called you to the ministry. I didn't call you. If I assigned you to something, God told me to assign you. It's up to you to consult God. Say, God, I need this for this ministry. Oh, Pastor,
too sick to come to church. Co-pastor to Facebook. Okay, take off as your friend then. Take off. Tweet, tweet. If we're bold enough to do it, be bold enough to stand up to take the consequences of it. See, when you get the keys of the kingdom, nobody's forcing you. Don't promise people stuff that you're not going to do. Stop walking around trying to make yourself sound big and look big and everything. Be who you are. If you're hurting today, then you're hurting today. And I still love God. I don't understand what God's doing, and I can't figure this thing out, but God, I still love you. Why? Because when I look back over my life and begin to think things over, the things that He's done for me far outweigh what He hasn't done. I'm looking at people right now. Their body's been touched. They've been healed from cancer. They've been delivered from this. They've been delivered from that. Don't tell me what God can't do. And because He hasn't done it for you, doesn't mean that He won't. Doesn't mean that He can't. But who do you say that He is? Wow. Is He a lollipop God? Or is He Lord and Savior? Is He the Burger King driver to the window order what you need, God? Or is He your bread? When you get hungry. And your water. When you get thirsty. See, you know what? Every time a preacher stands, you won't get a hallelujah, amen message. Because so many times we talk about what the folk doing outside the church. Yeah. And they going to hell. My Bible says, scarcely shall the righteous make it in. Some of us, we do the same thing, but where we wind up Sunday morning, you have praise God that you're in church. Some of the folks that we hang out with, we left them on hell's corner while we came to church. I wish I had a witness in here. Why didn't you bring them with you? What's the matter? You ashamed of your witness? All the people you think aren't worth being saved, look in the mirror the first chance you get. Hallelujah. All the people that you wrote off, they ain't never going to get saved. They ain't nothing but a drunk. They ain't no good. They ain't nothing but a whoremonger. They ain't nothing but a thief. They ain't never been no good. Ain't been this. Take a look in the mirror, because you got the keys to the kingdom. I need to let somebody know today, because you got the keys to the kingdom, you can turn that person's life around by letting them know about the love of Jesus, the mercy of Jesus, the grace of Jesus, the power of God, and how God turned your life around. That's what ministry is, no matter what your title is. You're a Christian. You ought to have a word of encouragement for somebody. Hallelujah. We're so busy trying to turn folk over. This person hurting on Monday, but come by my church Sunday. I'm hurting on Monday. Only reason God sent me to it, I need a word from you. Well, I'm not no biblical scholar. I didn't ask you to be a scholar. I asked you for a word of encouragement. You ain't got to be a biblical scholar to say, well, I was once messed up myself, but God picked me up, turned me around, and placed my feet on. Don't get cute with the gospel. Don't get cute with it. But you got the keys. You got the keys to somebody else's life, salvation, life answer. That's supposed to be about our Father's business. That's when you get your keys, when you show that you can deal with authority, that God can trust you with it. Hallelujah. That's what God is telling you. Can God trust you? When He cleaned you up and took you out of that situation, can He trust you not to go back? It's a desire of our hearts. And some of us, we just like, well, this is what, I've been doing this all my life. Ding dong, time for change. If it's not working, see, I'm not a proponent of what life gives you, lemonade, because after a while you're going to get sick drinking all that lemonade. No, you got to do ministry. You got to look at yourself, look at the mirror, and say, God, what is it that you call? God, I want the keys to the kingdom, because I don't only want my life blessed, but I want to bless somebody else. I want my family saved. I want my friends saved. I want my whole neighborhood saved. God, I want to do ministry. God, I want to be used for your glory, God. Do we have anybody that wants to be used for God's glory, that wants to be in the center of God's will? You don't have to escape something you're not trapped in. God ain't going to trap you in. When you raise your hand and say, Uncle, he'll let you go.
I'll tell you one thing. When you got a taste of him, you cry, Uncle, you'll be saying, Lord God, take me back. Because once we realize who he is, we realize who's been taking care of us before we even had a chance to know who he was. You don't get your keys until you know and understand, accept Jesus and who he is. Let me just close by this. My Bible tells me that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, my all in all, my deliverer, my strong tower, my healer, my way maker, my friend, my protector, my provider, my rose of Sharon, my lily of the valley. My Bible tells me he's my Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He's my Jehovah Nisi, my banner. He's my Jehovah Shalom, my perfect peace. He's my Jehovah Sitkanu. He's my righteousness. He's my Jehovah Shammah, the one who is with us everywhere, for he is omnipresent. He's my Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, my protector. He's my Jehovah Ra'ah, our shepherd who tenderly leads us. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord our physician. He is our healer. He's El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty, El Elyon, the Most High God, Adonai, Lord Master, Yahweh, Lord Jehovah. He's Jehovah Mekadeshkam, the Lord who sanctifies. He's El Olam, the everlasting God. He's Elohim God. Let me sit down for a minute, because y'all ain't shouting yet. I got a long list that I like to read to you. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Oh, he's the only God of the Father. Hallelujah. The firstborn of every creature, the Son of the Highest. Oh, yes, he is. Yeah, the Lord of glory. He said, I am God, the Almighty One, the Creator of all things, the Upholder of all things, the Everlasting Father, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I'm just talking about Jesus. Yes, he is the Word of life, the Word that was made flesh, the image of the invisible God, the wisdom of God, the power of God, the messenger of the covenant. He's the Son of Man, the Son of Abraham, the Son of David, the Son of Mary, the seed of Abraham. He is the child Jesus. He's the sent one of the Father. He's the apostle. He's the prophet. He's the great prophet. He's the prophet of Nazareth. He's a servant. He's a righteous servant. Oh, I'm not finished yet. Y'all not shouting yet. Hallelujah. He is a Nazarite. He is the Savior of the world. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and... He is Messiah, which is called the Christ. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb without blemish and spot. He's the Lamb that was slain. The Lamb in the midst of the throne. He's the bridegroom. He's the shepherd of the sheep. He is the way, the truth, and the life. I'm just talking about Jesus. Who do you say that I am? He's the shepherd of the sheep. He's the door of the sheep. He's the shepherd and bishop of our souls. He's the good shepherd that laid down his life. He's the good shepherd that was brought again from the dead. The chief shepherd that shall again appear. Oh, my God. When somebody try to make fun of you worshiping Jesus, they don't know. He's the root of Jesse, the root of David. The branch of the Lord, the branch of righteousness. He's the true vine, the tree of life. He's the bread of God, the true bread from heaven. I'm not finished yet. He's the bread which came down from heaven. He's the bread which comes down. He's the bread of life, the living bread. He's the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the light, the true light, the morning star, the brighter morning star, the day star. He's the Son of righteousness. He's the rock, my strong rock. He's my rock and my fortress. He's my rock of strength. He's my rock in a weary land. He's my rock of refuge. He's my rock of habitation. He's the spiritual rock. He's the living stone, the tried stone, the chief cornerstone, an elect stone, and a precious stone. I'm just talking about Jesus. Whom do ye say that I am? He's the last Adam, the resurrection. He's the head of the body of Christ. He's the head over all things, the church. He's the head of principality and power. He's the captain of the host of the Lord. He's the captain of salvation, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the commander. He's the ruler. He's the governor. He's the deliverer. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Anybody got any questions about who my Jesus is? Who do ye say that I am? It is when we know him, begin to know him, the totality of his attributes,
and his wonderfulness that you can get the keys to the kingdom. And once you get the keys of the kingdom, you have access, authority, and power. And once you open the doors of God's kingdom, you'll never want that other life that you had before. But you got to know who he is. I'm glad, and I'm mighty glad that one day he came in my life. I'm glad that Jesus picked me up out of the muck and miry clay and put my feet on a rock to stay. I wasn't fit to live and wasn't ready to die. But God has a plan for my life and a plan for your life. And he put my wife and I together, and he has a plan for our lives. And then he allowed us to birth this church. He's got a plan for this church. And I'll tell you one thing. God is not a man where he should lie. And he sent you here. He ordained for you to be a part of this church because he has a plan for your life. And part of the plan for your life intersects and dissects with the plan for this church. So you might as well get up and get busy and find out what God's plan is for your life. I'm about ministry. I done got too old now. I ain't got time for no foolishness. I ain't got time for playing games. God's been too good. I've seen God do too many things in my life and in your life. And I've seen the vision of God, and I've seen the mission of God, and God is yet able to do everything but fail. All I want is a few folks that's willing to love the Lord and give God glory and give God praise. I can't be around nobody that's not about my Father's business. I can't be around nobody that's playing church. I'm not better than you. I'm just going to a better place. I got a better covenant. I got a better understanding. Hallelujah. I got my keys. I'm not losing them. I'm not turning them back in. God gave them to me. I got the authority. I got the access. And I praise God for it. He said there's power to bind and loose. Those are old rabbinic terms, technical terms. That means there's power to allow and disallow. But what he's saying is, when I give you the keys of the kingdom, I want you to open it up and present it so that you can let some folk in. Bind the problem and loose them unto me. Hallelujah. You got more power than you think. Don't let the enemy run your life or run you out of your new life. You got more power. Death and life. If you can't get in touch with your prayer partner, open your mouth. Say, devil, guess what? You tried that before, and God got me out of it. Devil, I got news for you. You should have got me when you had. But you thought you had me in such a grip, you didn't know I slipped out one night. And I went to a camp meeting. Hallelujah. And God spoke to me. That God's got something better than what you ever had for me. As a matter of fact, he took the scales off my eyes. Now I see what you were trying to do, but I see where he's trying to take me. Somebody here today, get out of your rut. Get out of that. Get your mind transformed and renewed to find out who Jesus is and serve him in a different way. Amen. You can do more for God when you want to. How do you know? Because whatever we want to do, we do. I wish I had it with you. Whatever we want to do, we do. If you want to know him, you'll be here to know him. If you want to serve him, you'll be here to serve him. If you want to worship him, you'll be here to worship him. If you want to love him, you'll love on him. If you want him first in your life, you'll put him first in your life. Whatever we want to do, we do. Let us all stand. Whom do ye say that I am? As we open the doors of God's house, this kind of message is a message for newcomers, new converts, and for folks to rededicate. And every time you put out your keys tonight and you prepare to go in your house, think about that message. And the authority and the access that you have that God has given you to that house, then related to your spiritual house and to your spiritual opportunity that God has given you.
The keys also mean ownership.
My.
We're just trying to build God's kingdom. And whenever you see somebody building a project, they have a blueprint. But everybody on the team, like we talked about, the automotive manufacturing plant, got to be doing their part. In order to do God's part, you got to know who Jesus is. The doors of God's house are open. If there's anyone here today that wants to give their life to Christ or wants to rededicate their life to Christ, come on down front.